On a small backyard farm in Asheville, Isabel Barron steps barefoot past rows of sunflowers and dahlias to show me a shady patch of dark green plants along a picket fence.
There's kind of a secret little forest of elderflowers and elderberries back there.
The hardy shrubs tower over us, and dotted among the leaves are sprays of dainty white flowers. Later in the season, those blossoms, if unharvested, produce elderberries. Barron grows elderflower and elderberries for Patchwork Urban Farms Market. She says she's noticing a peak in interest in elder, which grows wild here in Western Carolina.
I've had orders from like bakeries and a kombucha maker.
She says in addition to the subtle floral taste that goes well in everything from cordials to kombucha, the plant is steeped in myth and folklore, like this legend from England.
If you lay under an elderflower tree on Midsummer's Eve, which was the summer solstice, fairies will take you away.
If fairies haven't dragged you away, elder trees are pretty easy to grow. It's a hermaphrodite, both male and female, and to propagate, you can just pluck off a branch and stick it in the soil. You can find it flourishing on the side of the highway or out on a hike in the woods. And yet, despite its relative ease, some food and beverage suppliers struggle to get their hands on it. Noble Cider in Asheville recently launched a spritzer, essentially a bubbly cider with a lower alcohol content, and elderflower is the star ingredient.
It's something that isn't harvested in huge quantities.
Company co-founder Leif Stevens says currently the cidery uses dried elderflower. It's not local, but Stevens says he's hopeful that elder's growing popularity will spur growers to ramp up cultivation.
We look for interesting flavors around us, and I want to use as much local things in my products as I can.
The elderflower in the spritzer gives it a botanical flavor, kind of like chamomile. But historically, the plant has served as more than a culinary ingredient. For the native Cherokee, the elder plant has served several medicinal purposes.
The bark was used, it's got a little toxin in it, but it was used for intestinal worms, especially pinworms in children.
David Kozo is project director for the revitalization of Cherokee resources. Part of his work entails preserving and educating the public about how the Cherokee people used native plants to include elder. Sometimes that work means bringing forgotten traditions back to the Cherokee. Kozo is not a member of the tribe.
And knowing that, even a lot of the research I did is none of my business. There are people who still know things, and there are a lot of people who have been removed from that.
He says increased investment in Cherokee, largely driven by the casinos, has led to a resurgence in cultural pride.
So a lot of people who didn't grow up with a lot of traditions now can say, well, what does it mean to be Cherokee?
Similarly, he says, that search for identity is playing out in the Appalachian region. For instance, at a recent herb festival in Asheville.
You know, half the stands there now have a section with elderberry in it. It's like the young people you see around Asheville, you know, they're interested in connecting. And I think that's true here, too. I think it's true in Cherokee.
Kozo says the fever for elder and other wild plants isn't new. It's a return to what humans have been doing for centuries, connecting to their surroundings and communities. I'm Cass Harrington, BPR News.